Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is The Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When it comes to crime and gun violence, D.C. streets have become very mean places for young people. The cry for something to be done has been constant. Well, tonight, one of WHUR's own is answering the call to help young people stay away from this dark future. WHUR announcer Easy Street is the founder of Academy DC and Creative Solution for Youth. He's joining us to talk about his latest project. Also joining us, Glenn Ogilvie, CEO for the Center of Nonprofit Advancement, and Laura Harding, Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Office of the D.C. Deputy Mayor of Education. We want to talk about this issue of young people, crime, violence, and solutions to this issue. Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Easy Street, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Mr. Fisher, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate you allowing us to come on and talk about this important issue in our community.
Absolutely. Glenn and Laura, thank you both for joining the conversation as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fisher.
And you can call me Harold. Mr. Fisher is my daddy. He's alive and kicking, although not kicking quite as high right now.
Prayers up
for my daddy. He's got COVID in the hospital, but he's going to get through.
Jesus, we need you.
Let's talk about those prayers and this wonderful work that you are doing for young people, Easy. But before we even get into what you're doing, talk to me about why you're doing it.
Well, it's I've been on the air here in Washington, D.C. for over 25, 26 years. And even before I came to D.C., when I was on the air in Chicago or Philadelphia in the Bay Area, I always was all about reaching out to the community and being involved in trying to be of service to the community. I remember when I was on the air in Dallas in 1990, there was a football player by the name of Byron Norton who had came to the studio one day. And they were celebrating a championship that Kimball High School had won down in Dallas, and came to the studio and was full of life. And they came in with the cheerleaders, enjoyed themselves on the air, congratulated them. This young man was supposed to go to college, and this young man was supposed to end up in the NFL, but a week later he was killed tragically. And that was in the very beginning of my career. At that moment in time, I just knew God told me that, being on the radio and playing songs and giving concert tickets away are fine and dandy, but being involved in the community to try to solve some of these problems are way more more important than that stuff. And so I started my journey back then.
And you founded Academy DC and Creative Solutions for Youth. Talk to me about that, and what is the foundation of this movement? Because it's more than just something you thought up. It is really part of a movement, a vocation, an advocation for you.
Absolutely. So just for the record, in 2004, I went ahead and decided that I would get into Glenn Ogilvie's lane and start a nonprofit. And I didn't know what I wanted to do with this nonprofit. A little voice in my head said, you need to start a nonprofit and name it Creative Solutions for Youth. That nonprofit sat until 2017. 2017, I kept this thing alive. I filed my annual reports. I kept the Creative Solutions for Youth. And a parole officer from CSOSA reached out to me, and she said, have you ever thought about teaching what you know about the music industry and entertainment and radio to returning citizens? And I said, no. she said, well, you should think about putting something together because, you know, there's a new movement going on in the country to find creative ways to be able to reduce recidivism. And recidivism is of course, preventing individuals from going back into prison after they were gone in that first time. So I developed this program and I was contracted, a federal contract by Marcus Hodges over at CSOSA DC. I had a studio built for me on MLK behind the big chair, and this thing really took off. I had a 98% graduation rate. 40% of my individuals that I work with became employed, and less than 1% of them ended up back in jail after coming into the Academy DC program. So they extended this contract out for an additional 5 years, and then the rest is history. I'm now contracted by so many, by the ONES program, by our good friend Laura Harding and Mayor Bowser, and some other stuff coming down the pike. But, you know, one of the things that's happening is we need to try to find, just locking people up and putting them in jail and throwing away the key is not the way to be able to rehabilitate individuals. We're finding that if we're able to create real relationships and be real about helping individuals get back on their feet, then we have a better chance of them coming out and being productive citizens in our communities.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody knows you, Easy, and you have been, as you said, part of this community, you know, for decades. But Glenn Ogilvie, for example, not a name, not a household name when it comes to, you know, the public. Glenn, talk to me about the partnership with Easy and the role that you are playing in this success story.
Thank you, Harold, and I appreciate that. And it's always good to hear Easy's story. It's motivating every time it comes across in such a powerful way to give back to the community. I'll tell you, the Center for Nonprofit Advancement, the organization where I serve as CEO, has been operating for now 42 years in the District of Columbia. Our role is supporting nonprofits. We're currently supporting over 800 organizations, helping them to build their capacity, their board, their finance function, their fundraising, et cetera. We're also helping to spark collaboration amongst like-missioned organizations so they can support each other and share best practices. Then there's advocacy, and finally, handling that back-office administrative function. Again, the financial management, providing the health insurance, et cetera. This partnership is a part of a more intense and intentional effort to ensure that the right organizations have access to resources to maintain and secure the highest possible outcomes for the community. And that's where the relationship and partnership with Creative Solutions for Youth and Easy and his dynamic team comes to play. The center's focus is to build strong communities by strengthening nonprofits. So we know that an alignment with Creative Solutions for Youth, supporting them in their effort is going to ensure the most positive outcomes for young people as they travel from school to home. And as Evie mentioned, the media and other function and programming they will receive before departing school. The last thing I'll say, which gets me so excited about this, is that our young people will also be able to interact and engage with others who look like them, who are positive and influential and fulfilling the role of monitors and teaching them these skills. So it's just a very powerful partnership opportunity that we're celebrating and looking forward to carrying across the finish line.
You know, Laura, you have a really long title. Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Office of the D.C. Deputy Mayor of Education. Mm-hmm. I got to take a breath. But, you know, but all jokes aside, when I read that, the first thing that kind of comes to mind when we're talking about such a critical issue, and tell me if I'm overstating it, you are really kind of one of the intellectual boots on the ground when it comes to dealing with education for DC youth. Am I touching on it correctly?
Yes. First of all, yeah, the title is long and the work is a lot. I would say my role is not only intellectual, but it also is to work collaboratively between the education system and our various agencies, DC and DC government and our community, right? And so there's a level of outreach and connection that doesn't just entail me sitting in an office thinking about an issue, but actually using communication and feedback from our students and our families and our school leaders to develop programming that speaks to the DME's goal and the mayor's goal of ensuring that students in D.C., in the district, have access to high-quality educational opportunities and a gateway and pathway to a successful family-sustaining career.
I just love all this in-office speak, but we need to keep it real for the people who are not in the office, because you just hit me with an alphabet soup. I had to go back to my notes when you said DME, so you do mean Deputy Mayor of Education. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. We've got a lot of folks on the line who want to talk about this. We are talking about a new initiative, which Easy Street is going to be announcing tonight, which is, you know, coming out of Academy DC and Creative Solutions for Youth. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about keeping young people in the District of Columbia away from a life of crime, a life of gun violence. What are you thinking? I'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Charles. Charles, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
I just want to jump in and say education is the foundation. You know, all of our leaders, Malcolm, Martin, Martha Collins, everyone understood that that was the foundation. And if you look in the district right now, our young people, they don't see black achievers. They're not involved in the construction trade. They don't feel a sense of hope. I mean, and it's gone on for like 2 decades. And so it's tension. You know, you look at the young people that are in public housing. You know, it's like a pressure cooker. You know, they don't see a future for themselves. They're not being educated. College is not the only answer. And so if it's just about making money, they can do that in the street. And unfortunately, that's what they're trying to do. So I'm glad that you have the Deputy Mayor's of Education's office on, and I'm hoping that they're willing to pitch forth, especially with the infrastructure bill that just passed, some opportunities for our young people to be involved in the redevelopment and revitalization of the district. Because right now, they don't see a future for themselves, and that's contributing to the violence.
Charles, thank you so much. Your thoughts about what Charles is sharing with us, Easy?
I think that he's spot on in a couple of areas. There is a high level of hopelessness in our community, but you know what? The same thing is happening in Chicago, Philadelphia, anywhere, Atlanta, anywhere where you have large amounts of African Americans. It's the same issue. And how do we fix that? You know, one of the things that I will say about Washington, D.C. is we have awesome leadership here that is paying attention, that has boots on the ground, that have been working on this problem for a very long time. Our Mayor Muriel Bowser has done an incredible job through COVID and then dealing with the violence. You know, that's one of the things that me and Glenn had conversations about. I don't think that the city realizes the millions of dollars that are spent to address this issue. And that's one of the things that we want to do with the Academy DC is expose the community to all these efforts. There are so many people, so many different organizations out there doing this work. Far Southeast Collaborative. You got DYRS, you got Cure the Streets, you have my organization, you have Yay Me, you have so many people out here doing this great work, addressing these issues with these special programs, and we're boots on the ground. So yeah, there are problems, there is a group of individuals that are which we call vulnerable youth that are feeling the sense of hopelessness, but that's why we're stepping in and continuing to push forward because, I mean, let's just think about it. The Marion Barry Summer Youth Employment Program has been going on forever, so we can't say that the city's not doing work. No, the city is doing work, but I just think we just need to highlight it a little better, and I'm glad that's why we're talking about it today.
I've got about a minute or so before the break. You got to talk to me about this safe passage thing. You got to throw that out there. You got to let folks know what you're doing, please.
Absolutely. So we're charged with making sure that students are safe from school to the metro, to the bus and home. from three schools in Southwest DC. My team will hit the streets on Tuesday for the morning bell and also the afternoon bell. And then there'll be an after-school program where I'll be teaching digital media production, all with messages in regards to violence reduction with those three schools. And we're excited about that. We're creating YouTube shows, short films, radio commercials, podcasts of the like, and we're excited about what we're going to be doing with the youth to be able to address violence reduction in our community.
I want to hear more about that also from Laura's perspective. I also want to talk about, as I said, that kind of boots on the ground and the reality of what young people are facing, as well as, you know, what Glenn has to say about, you know, the bigger picture of the new minds of nonprofits, where you still have, you know, the easy streets who are trying to change the world, not just one young person at a time, but collectively in this community. We're also going to talk to Justin calling from DC, Gina calling from Maryland. We have a lot to discuss. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. Please don't forget you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM as well as Sirius XM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about a new project, and it's the brainchild of one of our own, WHUR announcer Easy Street. He is the founder of Academy DC and Creative Solutions for Youth. He's trying to put a dent and the crime and gun violence issue related to DC youth. Also with us, Glenn Ogilvie, CEO for the Center of Nonprofit Advancement, and Laura Harding, Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Office of the DC Deputy Mayor of Education. There you see, Laura, I had to take a breath. If you have a comment or a question, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Gina, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Gina. What's on your mind?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. I don't normally call, but this subject,
I'm glad you did.
It basically eats me up every day. I've been blessed and have raised three highly successful, two young men and a daughter. She just received her master's in business administration from Maryland University.
Get it.
Okay, and of course, we're all raising three budding grandkids, three young boys. And I'm so frustrated, you know, at what they have to deal with. First of all, you have your television, you have your radio. All they're looking at is guns. My kids, my grandkids at 3 and 4, they're acting like they're shooting guns. Why? Because of what they're seeing. Kids do what they see. So first and secondly, I wanted to also commend Easy Street for what he's doing, but it's going to take a trillion Easy Streets because we as adults have dropped the ball for these kids. They only do what they see. And I tell people that. Clean up what they're looking at, every day. Put fathers back in the home. That's another problem. We were successful because we had a man in the home. My husband was there to raise the kids. So that's very important. And further, the kids are acting out because they want attention. They need love. And a lot of these adults are not loving their children. Okay, men are not in the home. Moms are on cell phones or whatever distractions they're going through. So kids are reaching out for love and attention. So there's a myriad of issues that need to be addressed into the heart and root core of what's going on with these kids. Because as adults, and look at like I said, and I repeat it over and over again, look at what they're looking at on TV. All they're seeing is violence. That's all they see. So there needs to be laws in line that control what we're watching on TV. This is ridiculous.
I would say that, you know, Gina has really encapsulated what parents and young people are going through. I mean, she just did an excellent job of explaining the struggles that are going on in the city, out in the suburbs, D.C., and as Easy said, it's not just a D.C. thing. It's happening everywhere. Gina, thank you so much for sharing with us. And to that point, and I want to start with you, Laura, even though I think one of the things that is really disturbing for us, even though this didn't happen in D.C., it happened in Montgomery County, and we're all aware of that shooting that just happened last Friday. The shooting mm-hmm. itself was horrible enough, and we certainly are praying for the recovery of the 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. But the thing that came out yesterday was, according to the police, that there were young people who were in the bathroom who were tweeting about the shooting, the information mm-hmm. about the victim and the alleged shooter, but not calling 911, not even alerting school authorities about mm-hmm. it. From, you know, what is that about? That is just, there's no other way. That's just crazy to me, Laura.
It is. It absolutely is. And we also see it with adults, right? They'd rather film something than actually either stop something from happening or call 911. But I think the important thing, and this is what we tried to capture in the Safe Passage program, is that there's an opportunity for adults, trained, trusted adults, to develop relationships with students and the school community and the surrounding communities to really have students feel that they can call a trusted adult if something is happening, right? And I think when Gina talks about the fact that the adults kind of have to wrap themselves around the students, I think that's the importance of this Safe Passage program, is that the community is being hired to be these trained, trusted adults, not only to be placed in designated areas to hopefully prevent gun violence, as well as our young women feeling unsafe due to physical and sexual harassment and assaults and fights and et cetera. Mm-hmm. But as Easy talked about, there's a portion of the program that entails in-school work with young people to help them develop conflict resolution skills and provide conflict mediation. And so the idea is you give a person a fish, they eat for a day. You teach them how to fish, and they eat for a lifetime. And so with this program, the idea is not only do we provide immediate intervention or supports or protections, but we're also going into the school building to embed some of the things that young people need to be able to navigate the challenges, right? Because it's no more someone pushed me on the street, although that may happen with the younger kids. It's someone went on IG and threatened me or made a comment, or, you know, you have entire neighborhood beef because somebody liked a song that one neighborhood uses and someone saw him on IG and something pops off. So there's a different level of relationship building that you definitely have to have with the young people today to get them to really trust you and share information that, frankly, us as older people are not necessarily always tuned into, because we're not on IG in that manner, certainly not in the same way that they are, or Snapchat or TikTok.
Easy, I need you to do me a favor. I have a question, but something you said at the beginning of this discussion struck me when you were talking about the creative solutions for youth and Academy DC. Can you kind of run down those stats again about graduation and recidivism for your program? Because I have a question for you.
Yeah, we had like a 98% graduation rate through my CSOSA contract. It's in MLK. 40% of my people that came through the program or now employed, when they first came in, a lot of them did not have jobs. And that's one of the things that we're doing is with my programming is job training. And actually part of the Safe Passage program, a piece that we're doing at the three schools of Washington Global PCS, Jefferson Middle School, and also Eastern High School, is we're going to be teaching them how to come in and do the be the next Harold Fishers of the world.
Absolutely, I don't know if you want to do that.
I mean that's why that's one of the things that me and Glenn Ogilvie talked about too. We have to prepare our next round of media people and storytellers and anchors on television to be able to tell our story correctly. And so that's what this program also does. Yeah, we're doing the Safe Passage. We're also becoming a part of the fabric of these schools by monitoring and appearing in their schools and mixing it up with the youth, but teaching them how to write scripts, teaching them how to read scripts, teaching them how to operate in front of these cameras and produce content is very important, because I'm telling you right now, and the reality of it is this, the way things are going with the technology right now with our young people, they are texting and tweeting and TikToking more than they are talking. And we got to be able to articulate. We have to be able to come on a radio station like this and tell people how we really feel and they understand us. And if we don't go ahead and get our young people prepared to do that, the next crop of media people, we're going to be in trouble as a people. So that's another reason why that we're doing this, and I'm excited about that opportunity.
So here's my question. What is your secret sauce to success when so many people and organizations have failed to do what you've tried and have done so successfully?
Well, for the record, there are other organizations that have done great work and continue to do great work in this arena. But like I said, you don't know about them. One of the things about what we're doing at the Academy is it's based off of love. You know, everything we meet the youth and returning citizens where they are. We keep it real with them. We have a motto. We already know that our young people in vulnerable communities, that entertainment is important to them. So I install my motto as being to entertain, then to build trust, then to educate, in that order. Because if I can get you sitting down and, you know, enjoying some music and doing, you know, you recording a song and us having fun on TikTok, and now we're laughing and giggling and talking about other things, now I'm building trust with you. Okay, and once I begin to build trust with you, then I can be able to educate you, like, hey man, you might not want to be talking to the young sister like that, or hey man, you might not want to be threatening somebody on social media, or we might need to tone down this song because, you know, that is not appropriate, or like with some of my other contracting work we're doing, like it also gives me an opportunity to go in to bring in a Black mental health therapist to come talk to the brothers, or to deal with and talk about fatherhood issues as well. So after we build this trust, then the sky's the limit for us to be able to talk about things that are more important than the music and entertainment.
Glenn, is EASY the future of community nonprofit? Is this the blueprint?
EASY is the present and the future, and I'll share with you that it does have the secret sauce. There's no doubt that EASY's organizations and the many other organizations doing this work that he mentioned have what it takes to be effective in community. But there's another issue that we're facing, and it's an issue of being underfunded. We have a motto that we share with our newer organization, which is no money, no mission. Having the sauce and the passion without the resources doesn't allow the outcomes to arrive as we know it and as we need them. EASY mentioned early in the conversation about Mayor Bowser and her dynamic investment in this program, the $4.3 million investment to expand Safe Passage that we are engaging with now. However, that's government funding, and preparing our organizations to compete for resources from foundations and corporations to really help wrap around the business model and the funding model is really what's needed at this time. We have found that organizations led by Black leaders serving the Black community are disproportionately underfunded, And we are working to turn that around and, you know, aligning with Creative Solutions for Youth Academy DC, getting resources to the table is the first step. But having a data-driven evaluation that we're able to use and help them to compete for resources from other areas is really a bigger part of the goal, because this is not a one-year initiative. These problems will continue, and we're wanting to continue a good drumbeat as we work to address the issues young people are faced with.
You know, Laura, I remember when the mayor talked about the Safe Passage program, and I had really mixed feelings about it, because on one hand, it made me sad that our children needed escorts because of the realities of these mean streets in order to get back and forth to school. But I was also proud to see the outpouring of the community in seeing all of these men, and some women too, to be quite honest, who were willing to show up early in the morning, as well as in the middle of the afternoon, to make sure that children got to school and got home safely. And I think that kind of thing is, you know, is so important, a way to, you know, to fight back against the pressures of some of the difficult issues in our communities.
Harold. First, let's note that, as Glenn noted, that this is an expansion, right? So you had schools like Center City and Principal Nia White, Dr. Marco Clark's Richard Wright's Man the Block, and
right.
River Family Strengthening Collaboratives, Community Watchers, who actually were using volunteers, right? So there were people already volunteering to do this. And this is a reflection of our community, that we do have strength, that in the midst of all of the violence that we're dealing with and the effects of COVID, that we care about our future, and we are committed to ensuring that our young people get access to education by getting there safely. It sounds really simple, but the pressure it takes off of students and families to figure out how to navigate a dangerous neighborhood or a dangerous stretch, it makes it so much easier for them to actually concentrate when they get into the school building, right? And so there's a level, yes, of sadness that we need it, but there should also be a level of pride for us to remember, especially as people of color, as Black people, that we are the answer to our issues. And that when violence happens in our communities, it's not just the victim and the perpetrator that are in effect, that are affected. It's like an impact on our entire community. And we have the strength, and, you know, the mayor's making this investment, and the deputy mayor for education as well, the deputy mayor for public safety have been partners in ensuring that we support community members who've been calling for this for a long time with this investment. So I think there's a sadness to it, but I'm also heartened and excited that we could partner with people like Easy Street and Collaborative Solutions for Communities and East River and Jamie and all these other organizations to really use our community members to step up and answer the call for our young people.
Easy, when you have these conversations with young people who are in your program about violence, for example, what kind of things are you hearing? What are they telling you? And do they have any thoughts about possible solutions?
So I'm glad you brought that up, Harold, because what's really sad is there are a couple of youth, of course, that I will not name, that have lost brothers, best friends. There is a lot of hurting young people in our community. And if it's not that, it's something that's going on in the home. There is a lot of pain in the community and not enough healing. And I think that we really, really, really got to really zero in and be there for them, because the support and the love has to be real, because these young people, you know, as much as a lot of people say, well, this generation don't know this, this generation don't know that. You know what? Let me tell you something. This generation of young people are more keen than you give them credit for. Absolutely. They can smell a fake. They can smell someone that's trying to that's not authentic, someone that's not, that really doesn't care about them. They can smell it a mile away. And the reality of it is we got to build real relationships and build real trust with them so we can be able to help them. And, you know, one of the callers earlier said that the parents have failed the children. She's absolutely right, but I'm going to take it a step further, okay? Because throughout this conversation this evening, we've used the word community several times. Well, the community has failed the community as well, because the reality of it is this. The police are not just going to be able to fix this problem alone. I'm not going to be able to fix this problem alone. Glenn is not going to be able to fix this problem alone. Mayor Bowser is not going to be able to finish this problem, fix this problem alone. It's going to take a collaborative effort of the entire DMV, the entire community, churches, and everybody else need to be, I'm talking full court press and all hands on deck to be able to solve this issue. That's the only way we're going to be able to tackle this. And I think that it's going to really need to start with some real love and support and helping our young people finding out what their needs are and then giving them what they need to be able to achieve. Mm-hmm.
Glenn, I do want to talk a little bit more about the money, because you said there are organizations that are doing the good work, and the only reason that they may fail is because they don't have the financial support. So where can the money come from? Because as Easy just said, government can't do it alone. So where should this money come from? And I'm talking about real, sustainable dollars. I mean, do we have to call Bill Gates every time?
No, great question. So, you know, for one, well-intended, very experienced community leaders are doing community work. But if they are not connected to an organization to do that work, they're working another job, they're taking care of their families and other responsibilities. You want organization steeped in community so that it is the full-time focus of our leaders. They're connected to these organizations, they're being paid through these organizations, and they're able to focus on the areas of need. Resources can come from five key places, foundations, one of which Bill Gates does operate, corporations. We have many corporations in community. Their employees live and work in community, and the corporations should and can be invested in a stronger, in stronger neighborhoods. Individuals can provide support, and we can also earn income in addition to the partnership with government. So the five key ways, and our strongest organizations are steeped in each of those five buckets, and they're not just getting a gift or a charitable contribution one year, they're getting it every year, and that gift size is growing with the revenue of that corporation or income of that individual, because they're leading and seeing the outcomes and the benefit of their investment in the community. So we're working hard with all of our organizations. It's something, again, we've been doing for 42 years in the District of Columbia. We've watched organizations grow from a great idea to much larger budgets, but we've watched, more importantly, their impact grow. And I'm excited to see that, you know, Academy DC and Creative Solutions for Youth has already been so far along, and to align with them to grow things even further and to bring together the full community, as Easy mentioned. And I want to thank you too, Laura, for your hard work, your leadership in the deputy mayor's office to really, you know, stamp out or realize and pull out some of the strongest community-based organizations and to get them resources to get things started.
Laura, from your unique vantage point, and I would argue that we need a whole lot more Ginas in you know, in the parental and grandparental trenches, but because she obviously gets it and she has a success story. But from your perspective, what are parents missing? What are they not getting? What are they not hearing? What do they need to know that they don't know in order to help
to put Easy Street out of business.
Right, because that's what we want to do, right, Harold?
Put it back on the radio full time.
I want to work so that this program is not necessarily 10, 15 years from now, or it has evolved into something different, mm-hmm. right? So that it's not a way for kids to get home safely, but it's certainly a way for them to connect with leaders and business people in the community to be able to access internships and learn about how they can select a career and things of that nature. But as a parent myself, whose daughter graduated last year from a DC high school, I have a great co-parent, but I think one of the things that's challenging and people don't talk a lot about, especially in the time of COVID, is the navigation it takes for you as a parent. Parents are people too. And they come with their own issues and their own strengths. And these young people are operating a lot differently than what we know, how we did it, and what previous generations have. The access to social media is unprecedented. It's a way for them to communicate, and they stay connected to this device. So you as a parent have to find a way to really build a different kind of relationship with your child where they can come talk to you about things. And you have to figure out what are the skill sets they need to navigate a world that we don't often understand. And I think that far too often parents sometimes don't feel equipped to be advocates for their children, sometimes in the school system or in society at large, because they themselves may not be where they want to be, and they don't see themselves as having a skill set. So I would say parents need a lot of support around recognizing the strengths they bring to the table, because far too often our Black and brown families have been told they don't have strengths, and we absolutely do. And we need to honor it, and we need to get back to honoring what we know. And how and the type of children and people we want to raise, and stick to that and be committed to that. And sometimes you have to be the unpopular parent and take the phone away. And you have to be the unpopular parent and spend some time walking them to school to see how they act, to see what's happening, to get a bird's eye view of what they're really dealing with, because our kids aren't sharing everything.
Mm. Your thoughts about that, Easy?
I think she's absolutely right. You know, that's one thing. Think about it, Harold. When we was coming up, there wasn't no internet, man. There wasn't no, like, we wasn't liking photos. All we had was the face-to-face, and that was it. Nowadays, it is totally different. The accessibility for these young people to be able to communicate, to get messages, to send and receive messages, they're right at their fingertips. We've heard this happen over and over and over again. That's one of the things that, you know, we're going to address in some of these social media ads, is the that whole piece about social media and how, you know, to use it properly and to be careful with it. And we know for a fact that some people have tweeted out their location, and next thing you know, somebody's over there, it's gunshots in that area. So, you know, that we have a unique opportunity to be able to be able to stand in the gap, to be able to educate our youth and show them a different way of living and thinking for their good. Because the reality of it is, we are living in the most dangerous time that we've lived in a really long time. And I'll go a little bit further. You know, Gina called in and her comments were very well taken. And she was talking about the violence in the music and the movies. But the reality of it is, we live in a culture of violence that permeates every aspect of our lives beyond the music and the movies. In real life, you got the violence. You got the violence going on the news. You have violence. You've got the video games too. So it's not just the music and the movies. It's like we're living in a period where you are somehow, some way being touched by violence, period. And that's a reality that we have to come to and figure out creative ways to be able to, how do we reduce that violence? How do we say that, hey, this violence is not cool, and you need to be able to find other ways to be able to solve your problems? That's the message that we're talking about today.
And I think, to your point, desensitized by it in entertainment, for example, whether it is in music, movies, video games, and the like, where it doesn't affect you until it affects you. And once you become a victim of it, whether it impacts your family, you can't reverse the DVR when you lose somebody in your family to gun violence and back up to when they were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose your temper and you hit somebody and you seriously hurt them, or God forbid, kill them, you can't back up the DVR, or you can't push pause on the video game and start over and unwound them, uninjured them, unkill them. And I think that it, just like any of us, when we drop a glass and we see that glass dropping to the floor and you just want to stop that glass, you know, it is the same thing with violence in our community. But the reality is that the consequences are so much more severe. I want to thank all of you for having this really wonderful conversation with us, Laura Harding, Glenn Ogilvy, and of course, Easy Street. Easy Street, congratulations. I salute you, brother, and all that you're doing, trying to save our streets and our young people. So keep doing what you're doing and keep us posted.
Pray for us.
Thanks, Harold.
Pray
I hope your dad feels better.
Thank you.
And as a Howard Law graduate, it's been an honor to be here tonight.
Well, thank you so much. There you go. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.